And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are. It's over. It is over. Ladies and gentlemen, say it slowly and savor it. Wichita State is going to the Final Four for the first time in 48 years.
Unbelievable. What a scene, folks. The Shocker fans are just going crazy in the stands.
Just maybe the greatest win in the history of Wichita State basketball.
Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. I'm here with Bob Hull. We're going to continue our look back at some monumental Shocker basketball games. We could not go very long without getting to Omaha. So we're going to take you back to February 11th, a Saturday in Omaha, 2012. The Quest Center, at that point, it was the largest basketball crowd that that the Creighton Blue Jays had attracted, attendance of 18,735. Wichita State ended up winning that game 89-68. I'll give you a couple more details, and then we'll let Bob get talking. Big games for Joe Ragland, who had 24 points. Ben Smith had 22 points, made 3 of 6 threes, and just played a fabulous defensive game as well. Bob, I guess let's start with just talking about Creighton and going to Omaha. Wichita State had beaten Creighton the previous year in Omaha to snap a 17-game losing streak in their different arenas. So it had been a long, painful time. What did it mean? What was kind of the mood just going to Omaha and facing the Blue Jays?
Well, they had lost to Creighton on New Year's Eve at home. So they were still smarting from that loss. And even though they had a really good game out of Carl Hall, I think he had like 15 points, 13 rebounds or something like that in that game. They lost the game to Creighton at home, and they hadn't beaten Creighton a lot in those previous years with, you know, against Dana Altman, their very successful coach who had gone on to Oregon. But Greg McDermott now was the coach, and he had come down from Iowa State to coach Creighton, and so they were having some battles against them. So it was a big ball game. It was for a chance to win the regular season title. It was late in the season. Creighton was coming off a two-game losing streak. They had just lost two road games, and so they desperately needed a win at home. They had a record crowd, and the thing I remember is when we set up our radio stuff about an hour and a half before the game, the people were already there. They were already coming in, and everybody was wearing white, so we found out it was a whiteout, so everybody was supposed to wear white. Plus, it was dollar beer night, so everybody got a beers for a dollar, and so it was a huge crowd, everybody wearing white, and they were all loaded by the time the game started.
That's when it was a little bit of a novelty to have alcohol sold at basketball games. Always very enthusiastic crowds at Creighton. The Blue Jays were number 15 in the coaches' poll, number 17 in the AP poll, and Wichita State came into the game with a one-game lead in the Valley. So if they were to win that, which they went on and did, it really was a big step toward, you know, winning the Valley title in addition to all the Creighton, all the rivalry aspects of that game. What do you remember about the game? What were kind of the keys to Wichita State's win?
Well, Doug McDermott was a sophomore then, but I believe he was one of the leading scorers in the country at that point. He was averaging about 25 a game or something like that, and had a couple of games over 40 points, a number of games with 30-plus points. So Doug McDermott was definitely the guy to stop, but he wasn't their only good player. They had a really balanced team. They had a great big kid named Echenique inside. They had a real smart forward named Grant Gibbs, who was a transfer from Gonzaga. They had Antoine Young, one of the best guards in the Missouri Valley Conference. And so they had a really, Ethan Rogge was a big kid that could really shoot the three. They had a very good ball club. They, like I said, they had beaten the Shockers at Koch Arena earlier in the season. So they had a really good club. And I just remember that the Shockers could win this ball game. They could pretty much cement the Valley regular season Valley Championship because Creighton had just lost two road games, and if they could beat them and beat them for this this home game, and they'd have three losses in a row. And I think the Shockers would have had to lose their next three games, and Creighton would have had to win the next three games for them to tie for the regular season championship. So basically, this game was for the regular season title.
Yeah, so Wichita State won and left Omaha that day. I think they chanted MVC, MVC in the locker room afterwards. I think Ben Smith got up from the interview table and noted that he was undefeated in Omaha, won both his trips there, which not a lot of Shockers can say. So at the end of the day, Wichita State had a two-game lead over Creighton with three to play. So it went a long way toward wrapping up that 2012 Valley title, which would have been Wichita State's first since they won it in 2006. So it was a big, big day for that. Can't talk about this game and not talk about Ben Smith's defense on Doug McDermott. We went back and watched that game. What was your observations about how they defended Doug McDermott?
Yeah, it was interesting to see how they did that because, you know, Doug McDermott is about 6'7", 6'8", could play inside, could play outside, but he had a lot of really good post moves. So to put a 6'4 player on him, Ben Smith, was a little bit of a gamble, but Ben did a great job of getting around and fronting him and tried to keep the ball away from McDermott, and then they did a good job of helping from the backside, especially Carl Hall and Garrett Stutz did a great job of coming over and double-teaming McDermott. And then it had to be a team effort because McDermott not only could score, but he was an excellent passer as well. So if you left a guy open on the opposite block, he would find him for an easy bucket. So not only did they have to double-team McDermott, but the whole team had to rotate and take away the weak side block and the top shooters on the perimeter. So it was a great team defensive effort, but it was led by Ben Smith, who did just an outstanding job on McDermott.
And I think that game, not single-handedly, but played a big role in him getting on the Valley's all-defensive team at the end of the season. He was really good, as you said, you know, really worked hard to keep Doug from getting the ball in good positions. When he did get the ball, he had to take some difficult shots. He only took two free throws, so they did a good job of defending him without fouling. McDermott ended up with 13 points, 5 of 14 from the field. No assists and two turnovers in 32 minutes. Now, he would later figure out how to score against Wichita State, but at that point, as a sophomore, Wichita State was doing a really nice job on him.
They rushed him. They made him rush. I remember a couple of times in the ballgame, he traveled. He threw the ball away a couple of times. So they got Dougie rushing, and there was a point in that game where he came out, and he and his dad got in a shouting match on the sideline. And his dad told him to go down and sit down. And so they definitely stressed out the Creighton Blue Jays. There was a lot of pressure. As that game went on, Shockers got a lead. And I think they were up, 17 at half? 18 points. Up 18 points in the second half. And a lot of pressure fell on the Creighton Blue Jays because when you have a home game like that, you got a big crowd and you're playing for the conference title, all of a sudden, they play with ease early in the game, but if the visitors are leading, then all the pressure flips over on the home team, and Creighton Shockers put a lot of pressure on the Creighton Blue Jays, and they felt that pressure, and they didn't shoot very well that game. They were a really good shooting team, but they were only 5 of 23 from three in that ball game.
And Greg McDermott, I know, was not happy at all with his team's defense, and that brings up another thing that I think Wichita State did that really helped them. Was they made Doug McDermott play defense. He was on Ben Smith some, and they made him work on both ends of the court. So that was definitely a big factor. Stephen Bardo mentioned the crowd, and you're exactly right. As sometimes that can happen. The home team, they hear the crowd groaning when they miss a shot. And Stephen Bardo, who was doing the game for ESPN, mentioned that in the second half, commenting on how negative the crowd was.
They had a bunch of shooters on that team. McDermott could hit threes. Manigault was a good three-point shooter. Antoine Young was a great three-point shooter. Ethan Rogge was a great three-point shooter. But they all went cold that day. And you're right. The more they missed, the more the crowd groaned and the more pressure fell on those outside shooters because the Shockers were not going to let them get anything inside.
Yeah, let's be clear about what a good team that was. That Creighton team finished fifth nationally in offensive efficiency, according to KenPom. So they were an excellent scoring team. They made almost 43% of their threes for the season. So just a really good scoring team. They ended up finishing the year 29-6, beat Alabama in the NCAA tournament before losing to North Carolina. So that was a very strong Creighton Blue Jay team. And I guess when I went back and looked at that film, you know, I thought the 2012 team, you know, that was just a great Wichita State team. They've kind of got lost a little bit to history because they did not win an NCAA tournament team. When they went up there and beat Creighton, that was kind of them at their best. I think they were in the midst of, would become a 9-game winning streak. It was a very experienced team, a lot of seniors, very efficient offensively, really good on that end, really good defensively, and that was one of those games where they really put it all together on the road against a really good team.
Probably their best game of the season, no doubt. It was an outstanding effort. To beat Creighton in Omaha was a feat that year, but to beat them that badly was really something. And let's remind the people of who was on that team. Joe Ragland was the point guard. Trey Murray was the two guard. Ben Smith played small forward. Carl Hall was the power forward. And Garrett Stutz was the center. And off the bench, you had David Kiles, Dimitri Williams, Takeo Cotton, a young Ahime Arupe, and Jake White. So it was a balanced team with a lot of depth, a lot of athleticism, but some guys that could score. Joe Ragland could really shoot the basketball. I think he ended up shooting about 46% from three for that season. But late in the conference, about the last 10 games of the conference season, he was up above 60% from three. So Joe Ragland was on a tear at the end of the Missouri Valley Conference season.
Yeah, Joe had one of the, again, kind of similar, a season that kind of gets lost a little bit, but just one of the best offensive seasons in Wichita State history. Had a big game against UNLV and just really did a nice job as point guard. I picked out a couple turning points. Wichita State, you know, led most of the way. Late in the first half, they were up 33-28. Creighton kind of started making a little bit of a run. And then that offensive efficiency, that experienced team really clicked in. Shockers scored 7 straight possessions. They went into halftime up 49-36. And they were largely in control all of the second half. There was a point late in the game, about 8 or 9 minutes to go, the Shockers were up 15, and Creighton kind of made a little bit of a run, and Wichita State scored on 8 straight trips. Dimitri Williams started with a 3-point play. Joe Ragland got going. And Wichita State threw a zone at Creighton, which was kind of interesting. You don't see that very often, but it kind of came at a good time, kind of slowed the pace down a little bit and made Creighton think. And then, Wichita State was, it wasn't much threatened at that point, but they ended up really, really pulling away.
You know, the funny thing about that game is that Garrett Stutz didn't hardly get to play at all. He hit a couple of threes early, believe it or not. He had trouble scoring on the post against Echenique, because Echenique was a guy that was just as big and just as strong as he was, maybe stronger. So he went outside and did some pick and pops, and Garrett Stutz hit a couple of threes, but he got his second foul about midway through the first half, had to sit down the rest of the half. When he started the second half, he picked up his third foul, like 30 seconds into the second half, so he had to sit again. Then he came in and got his fourth foul. So he was in foul trouble the whole ball game, and other than those first couple of threes, he didn't really get to contribute much. So it was interesting that they played that well with Garrett Stutz being in foul trouble, but I think you described it very well. The Shockers really played well in the first half. Trey Murray was hitting pull-up jumpers and hitting three-pointers. Ben Smith had 15 points at halftime, so he was really knocking down some threes. And Ben Smith didn't shoot a lot of threes and didn't have a high percentage, but he sure shot well in this ball game. They shot 60% in the first half, led by 13. And then in the second half, as you mentioned, Greg Marshall made a great move about midway through the second half. He went to a zone defense because Creighton was really struggling hitting threes, and that made them shoot more threes because they couldn't get it inside to Echenique, and so or McDermott inside against the zone, so they had to shoot threes and they couldn't make any of them. So the move to zone defense, I thought, was a really great move by Greg Marshall.
Now that was convincing performance for Wichita State's backcourt versus Creighton's backcourt. Antoine Young, who you mentioned earlier, had played really well in Wichita, had 19 points. he kind of struggled against the Shockers. Kind of got a little bit out of control at time. And then some of their other backcourt players, Josh Jones struggled, Austin Chapman struggled. And I think Wichita State's guards were really, you know, came out on the plus side of that.
Manigault had struggled in that ball game. Grant Gibbs, who was kind of a small forward, two guard, probably about 6'7", but he had a really good game in Wichita. Did not play well in this game in Omaha. But you're right, the Shocker guards played outstanding. Ben Smith, 22 points. Joe Ragland, 24 points. Demetric Williams, in the second half, made some nice threes and some nice pull-up shots. David Kiles contributed with some nice plays. So you're right, the Shocker guards just totally outplayed the Blue Jay guards.
Gregory Echenique for Creighton led the Blue Jays. He had 16 points, made 5 of 6 shots, also got to the line a lot. So he played well for the Blue Jays and kind of helped them stay as close as they were able to. Unsung hero, unsung star from this game. Anybody jump out at you?
Well, Ben Smith, you know, guarding Doug McDermott. I thought he had a great ball game. And not only did he a great job defensively, but he scored 22 points. So Ben Smith was by far the star of the game. But Ragland lit him up as well with 24 points.
I think Carl Hall had one of those games that maybe flew a little bit underneath the radar because, as you mentioned, Garrett Stutz played 13 minutes because of foul trouble. So Carl came in, weighed 4 or 5 shots, 9 points, 4 rebounds in 22 minutes. He really did a nice job of filling in when Stutz was in foul trouble. And we had Ragland with 24, Ben Smith with 22. What was the difference between Joe Ragland? He was kind of up and down a little bit as a junior, as we expect from junior college guys, then really figured it out over the last maybe third of that season. What flipped the switch for him to have such a, you know, just such a superb senior year in 2011 and 12?
Well, it was his nickname was JUCO Joe when he came out of junior college. What was it, North Platte Community College, I think, in Nebraska?
In Nebraska, yeah.
Yeah, he was a JUCO All-American. So, you know, things come a lot easier in junior colleges. The defenses, maybe it's not so much of a focus on defense in junior college as it is at this level. Also, you know, the scouting is not as intense as it is, so teams aren't as prepared for other teams as they are at this level. So guards can get away with a lot more. You know, you can take bad shots, you can turn the ball over, you can gamble, and it doesn't matter. Well, you move to the Division I level, and you're playing the kind of schedule that Wichita State's playing, and all those mistakes get amplified. So every junior college guard has to learn how to take care of the basketball, how to not turn the ball over. Of course, they've got to run a lot more plays. Wichita State runs a very, very complicated offensive scheme. So just learning the plays is a challenge for most guards. So it normally takes a junior college player half a year till they get comfortable in this level of play. And so you saw Ragland play very, very well the last 2 months of the 2011 season and then the 2012 season. I thought he had a great year, especially the second half of the conference where he just lit it up.
Let's go big picture. What did this game mean?
Well, it meant a regular season conference championship for the Shockers. And let's see, how long it had been since they had done that?
06 would have been the previous one.
Okay, so 6 years since they had won a regular season title. They had a chance to do it the previous year, but lost at Missouri State the last game of the season. But this time, it wasn't the last game of the season, but basically it was the game towards the end of the season to win, to cinch the conference championship. So that, and you beat a 15th ranked team in the country, so it helped the Shockers get picked to the NCAA tournament because they didn't win the conference championship, the Valley Championship, so they had to be an at-large bid into the NCAA tournament. So this win, along with the UNLV win at home by 29 points, was a couple of big wins for the Shockers to get an at-large bid.
That team went 9-0 in February and just played some beautiful basketball, especially offensively, also good defensively. It's interesting to go back and look and remember kind of what started that nine-game winning streak was a triple overtime loss at Drake that they were, you know, I think they overlooked Drake a little bit. They were not happy with that at all. Came back after that and really played some great basketball all the way through to the semifinals of the Valley Tournament where they lost to Illinois State.
You know, the Shockers only lost one road game that season, 2012, and that was that triple overtime loss at Drake. So that was their only road loss in the conference. And in the previous season, they'd only lost one road game in the 2011 season. So they were making, they were getting a reputation as being a very, very strong road team. Greg Marshall's system traveled. And so they got that rep. They could go in and beat anybody anywhere. And so I think this game was probably as big a win as any on the road in Valley play. So it was a big win. You know, you're in front of 18,000 people. You're on national TV. You're playing the 15th ranked team in the country. And it's for the conference title. It was a big ball game.
Definitely. And beating Creighton and all that rivalry meant to Wichita State in the Valley, it was certainly one of the more memorable games of Greg Marshall's tenure. Let me correct myself. They went 8-0 in February, played 8 February games, won them all, then went and won one more in the Valley Tournament, beating Indiana State in the opener. Another game that stands out from that streak where they played really well was when they went to Davidson in a bracket buster game. And bracket busters is something else that had kind of given Wichita State fits over the years. And that team went on the road against a pretty good Davidson team and really played well again.
Yeah, they really didn't have any great non-conference wins. I mentioned the UNLV game at home by 29 points. Ragland had 31 points in that game, by the way. But they hadn't played very well in the conference or in the Thanksgiving tournament in Puerto Rico. They beat Colorado, but then lost to Alabama and lost to Temple. So getting another big road non-conference win was really big. And the win at Davidson, it's really hard to win at Davidson. So to get that win and after winning at Creighton, that helped the Shockers secure a fifth seed in the NCAA tournament, because we played VCU in Portland, and they were a 12th seed, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, on February 10th, the day before that game, you would have thought Wichita State has played really well. They're in a really good spot. But we've kind of seen this before. They need to finish strong, and they certainly did, starting that with a big win at Creighton. Beat Missouri State in kind of a revenge game, went to Davidson and won convincingly, and then finished up the regular season with wins over Illinois State, Drake, and before going to the Valley Tournament.
But lost to Illinois State in the semis.
Yes.
And that was a very controversial game, if you remember. A couple of really bad calls or questionable calls, let's say. That was, I think, the start of the John Higgins. Shocker fans not liking John Higgins era at that point, because Illinois State pretty much played very physical in that ball game and beat Garrett Stutz out and beat him up and didn't get called for it. And Illinois State went on to win that game. Shockers had to go home a day early from the Valley Tournament. Had a week and a half off, and then got picked in the NCAA tournament, a five seed, and got sent to Portland.
Yeah, and it was a great thing for the program at that point to get into the NCAA tournament. Then you lose in the first round to VCU, and I think that team kind of gets overlooked now and underappreciated. How do you remember that team? Where does it fit into the, you know, how this program built?
Oh, I think the 2012 team was a very, very strong team. Probably a better offensive team than the previous year. I thought Trey Murray played a lot better offensively. They're very balanced scoring. I marked this down. Ragland averaged 13, Trey Murray 12, Ben Smith 10, Carl Hall 8, Garrett Stutz 13. But he averaged 17 in the Missouri Valley Conference. So Garrett Stutz had a really good Missouri Valley Conference season. And this team was a really good offensive team and could light it up on many a night.
Okay, that's been our look back at Wichita State's 89-68 win over number 17 Creighton late in the 2012 season. Thanks for listening. We'll be doing more of these. Appreciate you subscribing and listening. Bob, thanks for your time, and we'll be back for more.
Bradshaw into Wingate. Wingate's going to dribble it a couple of times and throws it in the hands of Kuznar. Threw it away. Kuznar to Ryan Martin for the dunk. The Shockers are going to the Sweet 16. It's all over. The Shockers up 7. 3 seconds. 2. Jumper by Smith is no good. Wichita State to the Sweet 16.
Malcolm out near the timeline. Left side of the floor to Baker. Ron works deeper to the wing. Fires a three. Good! Ron Baker with his third three-point field goal of the game, and Wichita State goes ahead by four.